Did you know that there are over 3.2 million podcasts in the world? It seems like everybody these days has a podcast. But did you also know that 90% of those podcasts fail to make it to 20 episodes? There are various reasons for these failures, but one reason is that people don't know what they're doing. Shocking, right? As it turns out, the same reason why people don't operate on themselves also applies to podcast success. You want to talk to someone who has had success launching and marketing podcasts. Somebody like Juliana Barbati. Juliana runs a podcast marketing and production agency, and their team takes care of everything for you, making this process a breeze. All their info is in the show notes. You can go to julianabarbati.com, tell them TGFB sent you, and get a discount when paying in Bitcoin. That's right. Juliana is a Bitcoiner. Her and her husband were actually Bitcoiners before they were Christians. And so it's been great for us to work with them. They basically came to us and said, hey, we'd love to help you guys, help TGFB grow. And so we'd love to kind of apply our services to you guys. So go ahead and support them. If you have a podcast you're working on or one that you'd like to start, go ahead and check them out. Now let's get to today's show. Hello and welcome to this On the Road episode of the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast. My name is Jordan Bush. I'm the executive director of TGFB Media. We exist to help Christians understand and use Bitcoin for the glory of God and the good of people everywhere. And this afternoon, here in Portland, Oregon, I'm joined by Nate Schultz and Oshawa Hawthorne. Oshawa has already come on to an episode of the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast. And then Nate has also been behind the scenes doing a lot of awesome work to help churches and missions organizations understand and use Bitcoin. So we wanted to, we were out here for the Bitcoin is for Everyone conference here in Portland. And so we had some spare time and thought, man, we should sit here and talk about, as we're thinking about being at a Bitcoin conference, we should get together and talk about why Thank God for Bitcoin is doing our conference July 24th and 25th in Nashville. Why the need to do a Christian economics conference? And so we're gonna talk about here. So it's gonna be free flowing conversation and we'll see where it goes. But Oshawa, why on earth would you associate yourself with a Christian economics conference, especially one that touches on Bitcoin? What's the draw for you for doing an event around those topics?
Man, I thought I was going to interview you, but
no.
So I don't mind putting my reputation at risk.
You're a madman. You just.
I like living on the edge, and I'm like, hey, whatever, we're gonna do it live. We're gonna make it happen, and just see what comes of it. But I believe the issue of economics and the financial system that we live in, it's kind of like the water that the fish swim in. That you don't realize is there and you don't think about it, but it's like Monsanto has been like pouring all the pesticides into it, and you're like you're growing a third eyeball and look like the Simpsons, whatever, mutated fish, and like that's the world we live in. And if we don't step back and realize, wow, this system is polluted and there's these issues here, you don't see it and you don't change it.
So yeah,
we gotta kind of look under the hood, work on the firmware, and not just keep running the software that we're doing.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? Like, there's been a lot of talk in the last few years about systemic evil and the ability for, you know, deeply ingrained evil to have all kinds of awful effects, you know, produce down, you know, lots of horrible downstream secondary and tertiary effects, right? And so money is one of these things that, you know, it gets left out of that conversation because everyone just takes for granted that they understand what it is and the effects that it has. And it doesn't seem very consequential, or it doesn't seem very, it seems like there's not much to it. It's just pretty straightforward. And the reality is that, yeah, to your point, it's not that straightforward at all. Nate, how about you? When did you introduce yourself, you know, who you are, what you've done, you know, what you've done in your career, and then kind of talk about, you can answer the same question.
Yeah. Okay. I've been with in the missions field for probably about 24 years, and first 7 years were spent as an overseas worker in Lebanon, and came back during the 33-day war, being evacuated from Lebanon during that time. Came back and spent the next 8 years or so as a mobilizer, and then about 10 years as a networker. And so it's kind of a weird thing that you don't have on any high school guidance counselor's list mm-hmm. of occupations, the kind of things that I'm doing now. So it's yeah. kind of fun. But yeah, in that time as a networker working mostly among diaspora work in the U.S., folks coming from outside, refugees and things like that. And in the last year, I've been more working with Osh on this Bitcoin project where we're trying to investigate what is it about Bitcoin that we can apply to the missions world, and how can we, you know, what are the benefits that can be brought? Because there's a lot of difficulties that we have, a lot of problems that need to be overcome that we're finding some ways that it can be solved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think why have a conference to get people together to talk about this? I think a big part of it, because of what I've experienced in the networking role that I've had, is just bringing people together to do stuff face-to-face is so incredibly important, to find people that have the same passions that you have and to know that you're not alone and to find your tribe is such a huge important thing that especially in our days since the pandemic, we've all kind of gotten used to being in our own world and staying at home. So yeah, I think this is super important.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I think part of the other way that I would answer my own question would be there are problems that, I mean, we've all had conversations with churches and missions organizations and other nonprofit organizations, schools. Like, we've had conversations with people where they're feeling pain points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're feeling these, you know, something isn't right here, or here's these problems that we're having to deal with that we didn't have to deal with before, and we don't really know what to do about them. So we're just kind of tolerating them. It's like there's a rock in your shoe, or, you know, you've got this small pain and you're just ignoring it because you've got other things going on. And, you know, if you would take the time to step back and try to identify, or, you know, find out what that actual problem is, maybe you would actually solve it and you'd be able to deal with it and then move on without pain, or, you know, or take a strategic, you know, course to begin ending that pain and dealing with the root cause of that pain. And so I think that this is something that just a lot of churches, they might, and we say this all the time, Christians have done an awesome job to help their people think through, Christian leaders and organizations have done a great job to help their people think through the moral implications of what you do with money. You know, like it's obvious that if, you know, spending your money on, you know, cocaine, you know, hookers, and other things is not good. Like, that's obviously not something that honors the Lord. And that's obviously valid and good. And again, Christians are to be commended for that. Like, praise the Lord. Like, they've done lots of work to help people see that where you spend your money reveals where your heart is. It reveals what you love, what you worship, what you care about. But there's more to thinking about the morality of money than just those things. And so I think as we look to do this conference, part of the motivation for it is it's to help further a conversation that's already been happening. We're not trying to recreate the wheel and just be like, you know, these people have been neglecting and, you know, no, it's not that at all. It's just, hey, this is something that is also aligned with this type of topic of conversation. We really believe that people do care about these things, but there's been this, you know, blind spot that is causing all kinds of damage. And we want to, you know, do what Jesus called us to do and be light and to shine light in this dark place, for the glory of God and the good of people all over the world. So as we do this conference, it's going to be July 24th and 25th in Nashville. You know, why don't you kind of talk about, I mean, you know, some of the people who are going to be there, what are kind of introduce maybe some of those people and kind of the topics that they bring that you think are important to discuss?
Man, well, we have a very like broad audience for this event. We're gonna attract all the Christians who are also Bitcoiners.
Yep.
And all the Bitcoiners that are also Christians.
Yep.
So, truth be told, that's not actually a large audience. And that's kind of maybe what's counterintuitive about what we're doing. It's like, let's just get kind of the most niche group of people that are all very passionate, right? Yeah. And want to get together and we can get all 100 of us, right, from across the nation. If we get,
there's dozens of us. There's dozens of us.
Yeah. That was the one of us. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, no, it's not that much.
Yeah.
But truth that I think we've successfully found a way to cast the net wider.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be this large Bitcoin conference that week, and it's very broad, and you can go listen to Michael Saylor and did you see that Vivek is now on the roster? Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's this kind of
political
boys, Caitlin Long, and all these like in the financial world and all these big names. If you're in the Bitcoin space, you're going like, okay, I want to listen to these people. We have some of that, and so yep. Day two is going to be more Bitcoin focused,
yep.
And so there'll be a number of those speakers that will be on main stage or side stages,
yep,
at the Bitcoin conference, who also happen to be followers of Christ, mm-hmm, and that maybe aren't super like public about their faith. They're not in ministry. They're in the financial services, mm-hmm, world or in technology.
Yep.
But they care about integrating their faith into their work. And they see Bitcoin as a significant tool for human flourishing and for making the world a better place and for saving their, storing their wealth. And so they have integrated views of faith and ultimate reality and Bitcoin and the practicality of how it relates to our financial system. And so we're seeking to create that integrated view so that if you're just a Bitcoiner, you're like, I'm not a Christian. I'm a little weirded out. Like we have some Bitcoiners that come to meetups and TGFB events, we're like, okay, I'm not a Christian. Can I come in the room? Is that okay? And we're like, no. We like either baptize you at the door,
yeah,
or we like take, yeah, you back out.
Yeah.
Anyone can show up,
yep,
right? And you can quote the specific names because I don't want to throw out a name and it turns out they're not
yeah,
coming or not. But it'll be a lot of that same caliber of people, of Bitcoiners, that will be there in our Bitcoin day.
Yep.
Now, I've heard you say, we were sitting actually by a pool. You might have been in the conversation. You might have been nearby. We were in El Salvador.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you chat about day one.
Oh, yeah.
So we're the three of us are together in this beautiful beach house hosted by Mike Peterson of Bitcoin Beach. We're looking out on the El Zante coast, hanging out in Bitcoin Beach. And I think it was with Mills, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting,
yep,
by the pool.
Yep.
And we're like, what are we going to do for this conference?
Yep.
And we just had this idea, like, why don't you do a more just a general biblical vision of economics,
mm-hmm,
and cast the net wide,
yeah,
as like day one. And so that's where there's the broader net of just a follower of Jesus that cares about how to live in this broken world and in this current economic political environment,
yeah,
like and it have more general appeal, like speakers that are well known pastors or leaders,
yeah,
but they're not necessarily Bitcoiners,
yeah.
Bitcoiners won't know who they are,
yeah,
but they're well respected voices within
Christendom,
yeah, within Christendom, and particularly from a more gospel centered,
yeah,
solid Bible background, mm-hmm, kind of foundation. So tell us about, yeah, that idea,
yeah,
and what I, came
to I think that. So we're gonna pull back the curtain. So I've been doing Thank God for Bitcoin full-time as a job for about almost 2 years. And in 1 month it'll be 2 years. And the challenge that we have faced, and we knew this going in, was really, we have a couple audiences, human audiences that we live to kind of minister to and through. And so one of them is obviously the smallest, probably it would be Christian Bitcoiners. Again, they're a powerful group. There are way more than there actually are thousands of them. There are thousands of them. Right? Yeah, no, there's thousands of them. They can't all make it to wherever we do our events. So we have had, around 200 people the last few years. But like we have Christian Bitcoiners. Those are people who, again, are passionate about Christ, passionate about people, about his name being known and worshiped and trusted all over the world. And then they also understand the Bitcoin side of things. And so we have those people, and our goal has been to, provide encouragement and tools for them to help
help our second group understand Bitcoin. And that's second, you know, the second group, but is also the biggest group is Christians who are not Bitcoiners yet. And so the challenge of doing events like ours is how do you convince someone to come to an event when they don't appreciate Bitcoin? So, you know, like we, you know, how do you convince them to do that? And that can be a bit of a, you know, of a tough thing to do. So that was kind of the thinking in doing a 2-day event, with day one being primarily a Christian economics conference, where we're going to talk about just both on a philosophical level and a theological level. We're going to, you know, have people who are coming, who are pastors, who are missionaries, who are coming in and talking about these issues from a biblical, through a biblical lens, and also through a practical lens of ways in which, you know, these scriptural, you know, scriptural principles about, you know, money and just scriptural principles of money, how they flesh themselves out in our lives and all kinds of things like this. So we thought to ourselves, okay, how do we get normal Christians to show up to this event? And it's to do a Christian event. A truly Christian event. This is not, they're not going to water stuff down for the sake of, you know, the Bitcoin people. Like, no, we want to have real Christian leaders who are really passionate about Jesus, who really are doing these things, but who are also, you know, who have written and spoken on, you know, some aspect of the way that economics interact with our lives. So again, for instance, we have Pastor Michael Foster, who's going to be coming and speaking. Michael Foster is a pastor in Ohio. He pastors a church there. He has a wild background. He is a wild story. He used to be part of a, first of all, he's a Presbyterian pastor. He wrote a book called It's Good to Be a Man, which again, just talks about how it's what it sounds like. And just the, you know, men are, you know, just today, it's very difficult to be a man. It's difficult to be a man. There's all kinds of confusion and conversation about what does it even mean to be a man? And then there's lots of talk about things like toxic masculinity and all this kind of stuff. And so it's difficult to figure out, you know, how to find your place for a lot of people, not everyone, but there's a lot of men for whom it's a difficult place to figure out, how do I navigate, you know, life in this type of world? So Michael is sensitive to that issue and wrote this book called It's Good to Be a Man. They've sold a ton of copies of that book. Michael, though, also, as part of his background, was part of a part of a group of Christian card counters. I don't know if you knew this. Yeah,
I've seen the documentary.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. Holy Rollers is the name of the documentary.
I recommend it.
And so yeah, so there are Christians who were experts at counting.
One of those guys. He's an actual church father.
Oh, no way.
In the early days.
So yeah, so he's an expert at counting cards, and so they would have a team of them who would go out to these Las Vegas casinos, and they would use their skills and abilities to basically.
Yeah. Just to qualify. The documentary is highly recommended, not necessarily
not practice. Yeah, not practicing. Yeah. Yeah. So that's part of his story. And so he's been aware of Bitcoin for a long time. Another crazy part of his life is that he's a bivocational pastor. So he works bivocationally and, you know, he's paid part-time by his church and then paid part-time working a normal job. And that reality is more and more common among pastors. Fiat currency, you know, devalues the currency, you know, basically, yeah, as U.S. currency gets more devalued over time, then pastors and other organizations are forced to look for other ways of funding, more creative ways of funding. And so Michael is embodying that and doing that. And so we wanted him to come and talk about that. But then also he works for a company called Maddox, and Maddox basically creates power generation. And over the last 5 or 6 years, one of their largest client bases has been Bitcoin mining companies. And so they provide, you know, a lot of power generation for these Bitcoin mines that are out in all over the world. So we thought he made sense to come and speak about, about just his life and about his experience and you know, what the scriptures have to bear on these things. So Michael's one person. Another person who we wanted to come speak, we've been asking him to come for 3 years, is the author of a book called The Ethics of Money Production, named Jörg Guido Holzmann. And Jörg's book, Jörg is a Austrian economist, is a fellow for the Mises Institute, teaches, I believe, at a university in France somewhere. It might be Paris. I'm not positive. But Jörg wrote this book that basically goes into this issue of the ethics of money production. And so he specifically keys in on this 15th century Roman Catholic bishop named Nicholas Oresme, who spoke a lot about this issue and realized that the way that money is created has all kinds of moral impacts on both the government itself and then as well as the people who are living there. And so he rebuked this guy, Oresme, Bishop Oresme, this pastor, you know, rebuked the king, basically the prince of this whatever, I can't remember what country he lived in, but rebuked him and basically said, you're stealing from your people by adding lesser metals into the money supply in creating more coins. You're basically lying to your people and stealing from them without them knowing or being able to do anything about it. And so he basically speaks a lot about these issues and presents them in ways that are very, you know, much very simple and easy to understand. So he's going to be coming. We were thrilled that he agreed. He's not even the biggest Bitcoin advocate at all. He's much more of an advocate of something like gold. And yet he was still willing to come to discuss. He's not coming to do an apology for Bitcoin. He's coming to do an apology for this issue of the ethics of money production. So he's going to be coming. We have C.R. Wiley is a pastor as well, and author, blogger of a number of different books. He's going to be coming to speak for the second year in a row. He's written a number of books about the idea of households. He's written a book called The Household and the War for the Cosmos, Man of the House, In the House of Tom Bombadil, about the character from Lord of the Rings. He just has talked a lot about and lived a very interesting life, economically speaking. And so he's going to kind of share from...
Would Tolkien have been a Bitcoiner?
Oh, I think absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Tolkien would have been a Bitcoiner. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And so he'll get to unpack why. Dr. Gwen Sunshine is somebody else. Dr. Gwen Sunshine has worked, he's again brilliant, worked all kinds of different universities and think tank structures. He's, you know, in different roles. He's also a host of a podcast called the Theology Pugcast. Actually, the best treatment of the war in Ukraine that I've heard thus far was from him. He's got family who, you know, going back generations, who were, you know, in the aristocracy of the Ukraine. I think it was of Ukraine, either Russia or Ukraine. And so he just had a ton of wealth to draw from to talk about that. He's also the author of a book called Slaying Leviathan, about historic Christian response to tyranny. And so we thought he would be a perfect person to come and talk as well. And then we have a broad number of people. You can find out more information at tgfb.com/conference. But yeah, there's just a lot of speakers. And the goal was to find as broad of a group of Christians, whether they're in vocational ministry or, again, working in the marketplace, who are Christians and trying to be faithful in those places, to bring them in and kind of share from their experience and help maybe, again, move the Overton window, the economic Overton window, for your average Christian to think about some of the economic challenges that are going on.
Yeah.
The TGFB podcast is brought to you by the TGFB 24 conference. Thank God for Bitcoin 2024 is happening July 24th and 25th in Nashville. This conference brings together some of the best minds in the church, the academy, and in Bitcoin to explore the biblical foundations and daily consequences of how money affects the incentives and outcomes of the world we live in. The name of the conference this year is Render to God, Stewardship, Dominion, and the Economics of Glory. We figure that an election year was the perfect time to examine the relationship between God, government, and money. We'll dive deep into what the Bible has to say about what money is, the role it plays in society, and why the principles governing money creation have such a huge and yet underappreciated effect on every aspect of our world. I'll be speaking alongside pastors and respected Christian figures like C.R. Wiley, Thomas Terry, Eric Hirschman, Gwen Sunshine, and many more. Tickets are limited, so use promo code TGFB24 to save 10% today before prices increase. You can also, for a limited time, if you would like to bring your wife with you, we would love for you to do that. We would love husbands to be able to bring their wives. And so we are offering 80% off tickets for wives who want to accompany their husbands. So that means you can get two tickets today for $300 by using promo code COUPLE at checkout at tgfb.com/store. Go ahead, run over and do that. We'd love to have husbands and wives together to talk about these very important topics. This is a one-of-a-kind community experience at the intersection of theology, technology, ethics, finance, and economics. We hope to see you there. Okay, back to the show.
Let's talk like networking and relationship from conferences.
There's only one person to talk to. There's only one person to talk to if that is what we're going to be talking about.
We have a professional.
We have a professional, like the most connected person that I think I know is Nate Schultz.
Yeah, this guy's black books. it's full, and it's it's not full of ladies. It's full of like. Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying. Yes.
It's full of like global leaders.
Mm.
So as someone that's just started going to Bitcoin conferences over the last couple of years, and connecting into the network, like if you have someone that's maybe never been in person, like we were at this conference yesterday, and I saw someone registering, and they're like,
Yeah, you guys are our first Bitcoin guys in the wild that we've ever met.
Really? It's real. Right.
I have one friend that we do Bitcoin with, but I've never met anybody else.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So what, what are the, why is it worth it to travel across the country and show up and meet Bitcoiners and like-minded Christians in person? And how has that been?
I think for me, it's been, you just don't know the quality of people that are out there that you're just gonna, we've had these situations where we're sitting just chatting, having a beer or something, and you're in a group and talking, and you find out these hidden secrets about these people that you just met, that they're super well connected or important, and it opens up so many opportunities. Mm. For anybody that is trying to learn about the whole system of Bitcoin and of finances in general, economics, there's such a wealth of information from people that you'll meet. But it opens up these doors for actually applying your life in these. There's projects out there mm. that you have no idea that you could participate in.
Mm.
That's the part that really super, really excites me, that there's these open doors that you don't even know that are there, that you can, that'll change your life, that you'll start to get connected with this group of people, and you'll go in directions in your life that you never imagined you would go into.
We've been globetrotting together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We met in Miami, and then it's like, hey, let's go to El Salvador. Let's go to Africa.
Yeah. I think I would say I would echo that, and then say I think part of the other thing is like it's good to do retreats. Mm-hmm. It's good to kind of retreat from your normal everyday life. Like again, there's people who learn about Bitcoin on their own. Like they start watching podcasts, listening to podcasts and do that kind of stuff. But it's a whole different level of intensity when you're doing just that for a day or two, where you're able to just kind of give yourself completely to thinking about that, rather than just while you're doing the dishes or you're driving to work or something, being there in person with other people and hearing stories of, it could be something as simple as I was trying to use Bitcoin and I had problems, or it could just be, sometimes we meet people who we've been sitting there working on an idea, we've been working on a project and trying to come up with solutions to problems, whether they're Bitcoin related or whatever. And then you meet somebody and they've been working on this project and they might be two or three steps ahead of you, and you're like, oh man. And mm-hmm. we never would have found each other if we hadn't both gone to this, physical event, or it would have been, much more difficult or something. And so I think that that's been our experience in the 3 years that we've been doing these events is just like we go to them and you meet all kinds of people who are from every background you can imagine, whether it's CEOs of companies, whether they're, pastors, missionaries, just again, normal people who are working normal jobs, and then just finding and talking and working together. And then again, there's been businesses formed, there's been, organizations that have been strengthened. Thank God for Bitcoin is a small organization. And again, we could not exist if not for what you guys have helped me. You guys specifically, you guys are seated here, but there's other people as well, other like volunteers who've helped in a lot of ways. And so I think, and all of those things of like strengthening ties that builds a foundation, for ministry, for, again, you never know. I'll never forget this story of, it was the guy, I can't remember who this was. I remember hearing a story about the guy who led Billy Graham to the Lord. And this guy, he didn't live like this big dramatic life. He had a very normal Christian life, but shared the gospel one day with this guy. And then I think it was Billy Graham. It might have been Billy Sunday.
There's a story about Spurgeon.
Yeah.
Showing up okay. to some old like farm country yep. preacher. And
maybe it was that. That could be confusing. But anyhow, you have a normal person who just is faithfully sharing the gospel, and then they get connected to this person whose then life goes on and touches millions of people. And so I think that, again, we're doing what we're doing because, you know, for the glory of God and the good of people everywhere. That's why we think of Bitcoin as a strategic tool for that purpose and to that end. And it's been incredible as we've been going through this process to see that, oh wait, God's already been here long before we showed up. Mm-hmm. God's been moving in a whole bunch of other people other than us, and they're seeing all the same problems and looking for solutions. And some of them are farther along in finding answers to these solutions. And so, yeah, highly recommend doing in-person Bitcoin events. Yeah.
And it's just how people glean new ideas from each other or get corrected in false ideas. I would say up until yesterday when you guys did your presentation, I would say that I was someone who kind of fell for this idea, or the general understanding about money is that it's neutral.
Mm.
You can use it for good things, you can use it for bad things,
mm-hmm.
but money itself is something that it isn't good or evil. But I think it's kind of dumb, but like I think yesterday for the first time I realized, no, our money's actually got some evil built into it,
mm-hmm.
you know? Yep. The way that it's being used, and we need, it would be great to go back to a neutral money, you know? And I don't think our current money is actually neutral. It, mm-hmm. it actually has evil baked into it, which mm-hmm. is horrible. So, but that's something I gleaned just yesterday mm-hmm. because we were at this group thing yep. and sharing different ideas. And I know that you were saying as you're speaking, as you're giving ideas, you're hearing gasps from the crowd as they're making realizations about things. And we need that kind of, we call it iron sharpening iron, right? Mm-hmm. And people learning different perspectives that they wouldn't normally hear.
Mm-hmm.
And just the caliber of the people you get to spend time with,
mm-hmm.
like this, I've been totally honest. Maybe I'm speaking of ignorance because I've never had a whale pass at the big Bitcoin conference. I have been to VIP parties.
Congratulations.
Because I know this guy.
Yeah.
But the people you get to spend time with when you hang out with this crowd of kind of Christian Bitcoiners, like, so last year at TGFB, I got to walk to lunch with Greg Foss and like pitch him my investment strategy for my mm-hmm. nonprofit and it got some great feedback. And then we did lunch with him and Preston Pish is out in like the entryway playing the like Bitcoin mining and having a good time and we're in our little meetup group we're like chilling with like founders and people are doing their like they gotta leave our thing because they have an investment call with Jack Dorsey and yep. just like these are like quality caliber people mm-hmm.
yep.
that we get to spend time with
yep.
And then just like hang out late like I got one of my best members from Miami is like two rounds of sushi all night and then like leaving and seeing the sunrise after like just hanging out and laughing.
The most innocent, you know, probably night that's ever been spent in Miami. Of just, you know, we literally just sat together and talked about Jesus and talked about Bitcoin and ate sushi until very late.
We did do our coin confessions.
If you recall. Oh man, this could be its own episode. We need to save this. We need to save this. save the content.
of early degen periods.
Oh man.
What was your dumbest investment that you've ever made?
We do need to do an episode about that. To humble ourselves and confess. Yeah, we do. We need to. Yeah. We will do that. Coming soon to a podcast episode near you.
Thankfully, I avoided all of those because it was you that brought me in. I managed to sidestep
let he who is without cryptocurrency sins cast the first stone. Apparently Nate can actually cast the first stone.
I can.
I'm glad for you. Praise the Lord. So we will actually do a full episode on it. That would be real good. I'm trying to think where to go from here.
How about we close with one last question? Because I'm changing our audience. If we have, let's say, the Bitcoiner listening, who's not a Christian, or you have the Christian listening, right? So they thank God, and this guy's for Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
right? And they're thinking, okay, maybe I could, they like the speakers at this one day, mm-hmm. but they're like, I'm going to skip that other day.
Yep.
What would you say to each of those audiences of maybe one thing that would surprise them about why they would be really glad that they ended up going to the other day?
I think the thing, the answer to that would be, there was a time for most people who were Bitcoiners where they thought money was boring and they didn't see the relevance of it, and they would have rather done a whole bunch of other things. And yet something happened, like they encountered some, you know, Bitcoin from some angle, mm-hmm. and you know, they encountered it in such a way that it became compelling to them. Something that previously had been boring or not compelling became compelling to them. Mm-hmm. And it might have, again, probably likely is because they heard some expert speak about it. Mm-hmm. And so I would argue that for a lot of Christians, you probably haven't encountered a lot of Bitcoin experts like to talk about that. So if you have no, I guess my appeal to, if you're a Christian and you would be tempted not to come because you don't care about Bitcoin, again, I would say, hey, definitely come to the first day, because they're going to make the case for why Christians should care about the issues that event, again, on the second day, we're going to demonstrate undergird Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Like, Bitcoin does not exist for its own sake. It was not created in a vacuum. It was created because to solve real world problems that have real world effects that we're going to talk about on day one. As far as Bitcoiners who already get that, and they, you know, they're thinking, why would on God's earth would I go to a Christian conference? The thing that I would say is, again, to that first point, there's Bitcoin probably didn't always seem cool to you or didn't always make sense to you. And we're going to have experts in Christianity explaining different aspects of Christianity, and you know, who are going to come and talk about those things. And so I would say, hey, come and again, maybe are you willing to consider that maybe you haven't heard the best case for some of these things? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to consider that, you know, maybe there's arguments for this or things that you haven't thought about that, you know, some of these guys can talk about? And so again, the people who are coming are some of the most respected people, pastors, speakers, philosophers. I mean, we're going to have a Hollywood producer who's a Christian making, you know, Hollywood films. Again, there's going to be a lot of experts in their fields who are going to be coming there and talking about both why they're Christians and talking about, you know, why they, you know, the ways in which money intersects with their world in ways that aren't intuitive. So I think that'd probably be my answer to both those. So we'll close there. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Ash. Thank you, Nate, for taking this time. And again, yeah, if you have other questions, the audience, I'll address you now. If you guys have questions, reach out. You can find me on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter, Thank God for Bitcoin, at Thank God for BTC on Twitter. And then my handle is at Thank God, or I'm sorry, at JM Bush Writes. You can find us there. And again, we'd love to see you in Nashville, July 24th and 25th. You can find out more information at tgfb.com. We will see you again next time. Our mission at TGFB is to help Christians understand and use Bitcoin for the glory of God and the good of people everywhere. We do this through podcasts, books, consulting services, and live events. We love giving away as much of our resources as possible, but we do have real overhead costs. And there are a number of easy ways that you can help us keep the lights on to continue our mission. First, if you're a Bitcoiner, you can listen to the podcast on the Fountain app and stream us sats in real time as you listen to the podcast. Every contribution makes a difference, no matter how small. You can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/TGFB to receive a number of special benefits available only to our Patreon supporters. If you find these conversations valuable, you can also help spread the word by sharing this episode, subscribing on YouTube, and leaving reviews on Apple and Spotify. Leaving us good reviews goes a long way toward ensuring that the algorithmic powers that be look favorably on our humble endeavors. And finally, engage with us on social media. Join the conversation so that we can build a strong community united around faith, freedom, and sound money. We mentioned the TGFB 24 conference on July 24th and 25th in Nashville. You can go grab your tickets at tgfb.com/store. And finally, go check out julianabarbati.com if you have questions about how to start or better your own podcast. We're grateful for your support, and we look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Thank God for Bitcoin podcast.